Welcome back to Sheboygan Stories and Housing Unheard. I'm Scott, and today's episode is something that we don't always get in life, but we all desperately need at times, second chances. I'm sitting down with Jenna, someone who's walked a tough road but found the strength to fight it for a new start. Her story is raw, real, and filled with hope. Jenna, thank you for joining me today and being willing to share your journey. All right, let's start where things were the hardest. Can you tell us a little bit about what life looked like before that second chance when you felt like you were at rock bottom?
So I labeled myself in the past as a chronic relapser, where I would get clean for some time, then I'd relapse and get clean and relapse. And it was a cycle for me. I would get clean, gain everything back, and then relapse, and I would lose everything again. And I went through that quite a few times. That was probably, this last time was probably, that was my rock bottom, because I realized that I couldn't keep living this way anymore and I had to do something different.
Awesome. That's powerful. It really shows how quickly life can unravel and how overwhelming it can feel without the right support in place.
So, yeah, of course.
So was there a moment, or maybe a series of moments, when you realized that things could change, that a second chance was even possible?
Yeah, so I guess this last time when I got clean, I have 15 months right now.
That is awesome.
This last time I got clean, I definitely hit my rock bottom, which I'll explain more in upcoming questions. But what helped me was about 2-3 weeks prior to coming back to recovery, I tried and tried to get into CORE, and they kept telling me, well, we have to run it past these people. We have to, you know, we have to, because I went so many times, they had to make, they didn't want to keep abusing the resource, you know? So I guess that, my eyes opened when they told me, yeah, come in. And they were going to give me another chance. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen, but I knew I needed something. And that's what led me to where I am today, was the last chance they gave me to go there. I made the most of it.
That's got to be extremely frustrating, I would think. You're reaching out for the help. You know that you need somebody's help. And every time you do, you get turned away.
But I also understand, too, where they're coming from. They've given me so many chances, you know, and if it wasn't for them giving me one more last chance, I probably wouldn't be where I am today.
That is awesome. Everything happens for a reason and at the right time.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that one step, one opportunity can open the door to everything else. A second chance doesn't always mean that the road is easy. What were some of the challenges you faced once you started trying to rebuild?
Yeah, so like, so I'll share a little bit about how my journey started. So, well, this time around. So I went to treatment at one place, and then, so like you said, challenges come up, right? So you get a second chance, but there's things that come up on the way. So I went to a 30-day program in Manitowoc, and from there I graduated, and they decided during my stay there that I would benefit from a 90-day transitional program, which was like a more laid back, more laid back treatment, but it's a 90-day program. Right. So I got transferred to that 90-day program. The day after I got there, they decided they were going to shut down. So I was only there for 2 weeks compared to 90 days. So I had to sit there and scramble and figure out, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Because I thought I had 90 days to figure this out. Now I have a week, you know?
Right. That's quite the wrench to be thrown in.
Yeah. So, but I made it. I've made it through. Me and my team at the treatment center figured out a plan. So I was put in a sober living in Madison, which I thought was going to be just great. I had a fresh start, big city, great meetings, and it was not what I expected at all. I'm not saying anything bad about the community, but it's not what I was hoping for. I was in a position where people were still using it, the sober living, and I had to get out of there.
Holy geez.
So I came back to Manitowoc, and that's when things started. I was doing the right next thing, and things started falling into place. You know, I stayed with a sober friend here in Manitowoc for about a month, and then I got into sober living, and that's where it all went. That's how it went. Like, things just started falling into place. It doesn't always go the way you want, but it will work out.
Right. Wow. You know, I think that's something that people don't always see, that the fight doesn't stop once you're on the right path. It's daily work. You know, it's a constant struggle.
Just being sober, eventually it becomes easier to handle these problems. Not at the beginning, it may seem like a lot and too much to handle, but when you do it, like I said, I have 15 months. So when I come up to these problems, I know better ways to handle them now. And my first thought isn't, oh, I should go get high because I can't handle this. No, I have things in play and coping skills that I use that makes it easier to handle problems that do come up. Because I'm 15 months clean and I still have problems coming up, you know, but it's the way I handle them now.
Right. I have to say, huge, you rock. 15 months, that is awesome.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's fast forward to today. What does life look like now that might have felt impossible?
So like I said, things still happen, you know, there's hiccups in the road, but today I have my license, I have a job, I have a cute little puppy, my baby. I'm in a happy relationship. I have my own apartment. I'm actually been in this apartment the longest, almost for a year, the longest I've ever been in one place. And I'm still 15 months into it, going to 2 to 3 meetings a week, if not more.
Nice.
I'm doing what I need to do, you know, and I never thought I'd be where I am. I say it almost every day. I can't believe I'm where I am. Like, I never, 16 months ago, I would never thought of this.
Right. That is, like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. Tell me about the road to recovery. What did it actually take?
So, like what was the rock bottom? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I was a chronic relapser. I would get clean, then relapse for some time, then get clean. And like, finally I got to the point. Part of it was, I was just sick of doing the same thing over and over, letting myself down, letting others down, you know. And a friend I was using with, we were both, I described it as near death. Like, we were not in a good spot. And I woke up, I was up already because I was, you know, using. But the morning I went to treatment, it just something switched in my head, you know, like, I don't know. I just knew I couldn't live this way anymore. I just couldn't, like, me or my friend were going to end up dead. I just couldn't live that life no more. It just wasn't worth it. I knew I had more potential than what I was offering, and I just knew I couldn't do it no more. And when I went to treatment, I feel like God was, that's who my higher power is. I feel like He put some blocks in the road to help me get where I need to be. Cause, my first week, this friend that I would normally call to come pick me up, I wanted to leave. Well, her phone just happened to be off that week. So I tried calling and for like a few days, and finally I'm like, you know what? This is a sign. This is a sign.
I was just going to say the same thing, right?
This is where I need to be.
That's the universe telling you it's time to change.
Yeah. So I take signs, you know, I see things happening, and everything happens for a reason, you know, like
100%.
Things don't just happen, you know? So I'm very intuitive on that now. Like, things happen for a reason.
Right. Wow. That's absolutely incredible. That is proof that change is possible.
Oh yeah.
For someone listening who's struggling, who feels like there's no way forward, what would you want them to hear from you?
So I say it a lot to people that I see struggling, and it's kind of hard to keep repeating it because I feel like these people aren't open. You know, not everybody's ready for it, and that's something I struggle with, seeing people who aren't ready, you know. But there is hope. Like, if you give it a chance, like for me, I had to just keep saying, I just had to keep doing the right next thing in my early recovery. Like, and there is hope. Like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. If you keep doing the right next thing, things will fall into place. It won't be easy. It won't be perfect, but it'll work out. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. Things will work out if you just keep doing the right next thing.
You know, it's kind of, we tell people that a lot, you know, especially like in with the pay it forward stuff, with everything. Instead of worrying about the big picture, you know, you look at everything and it just seems so overwhelming because you're thinking, oh my God, it's out there. There's this huge, don't look at that big picture. Look at what's directly in front of you at that moment.
Right. And along with doing the right next thing, like for me, I said my higher power is God. I always tell myself it's God's will, not mine. I need to do it with my higher power's will and not my will, because my will always gets me back in the same spot I was, you know,
right.
Doing what I want to do and what I think is right always gets me back to square one.
Right. And it puts you back into that cycle that really, you know, as time has shown, is really tough to get out of.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Definitely.
Wow. Is there anything else you'd like to add on this? Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
I'm just grateful for all the support and resources in both Sheboygan and Manitowoc County, like for all the resources and support and the people who I feel should have given up on me but haven't, such as you guys and Lighthouse. Like, I'm just grateful for these people to believe in me when I couldn't believe in myself, you know?
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, you were out on the streets too for a while, weren't you?
Oh yeah, I was back a couple summers ago. I went to treatment, went to sober living. Like again, I went with my will, not God's, and so I ended up leaving the sober living and decided I'd be better at the Sheboygan, at the Salvation Army. And well, that I was doing, I did good, got my own apartment, but I wasn't ready. As soon as I got my own apartment is when it got bad. Again, my addiction got bad, and then that was probably my biggest stint in Sheboygan, was the 3 months I was at the Salvation Army.
Right.
But I was hanging around with the wrong people, I was going to the wrong places, and it just, I wasn't ready, you know, and I kind of knew that inside me.
Right, and it's super easy to get caught up in that, especially when you're in a situation.
Especially when you're in a situation where you have to be gone all day and you want to hang out with people, but you want to go hang out somewhere, but you don't want to hang out alone. So you go to the park where people are hanging out, but they're drinking or they're using. And it's hard. It's a hard situation. You feel all alone. All you want to be is around people, but all these people are using and drinking, you know?
Right. And I remember I did an interview with Robert, a couple months back. When I did the active addiction one, and he had mentioned that not even by any ill intent, but he said, you know, with the people you hang out with, when you're stuck in that circle, they give you stuff. They're like, here, you know, you're depressed. You're not who you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Here, take this, you know?
Yeah. And I, as somebody who was obviously was an active addiction, I found myself in that situation too, where I was maybe giving stuff to people I shouldn't have, you know, which I shouldn't be giving it to anybody, but I was like, they say misery likes company, not saying that like I wanted them to be miserable, but I wanted that to fill that void. And the only way I could do that get high with this person, you know? And like, I can't explain why, but I'm guilty of that myself. And like, I don't know. So I try to be compassionate when I see things like that, like, but I also have to protect my own sobriety too, you know, so I have to make sure people aren't doing that with me, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Not putting yourself back into that situation that may, you know, potentially lead back into that. But that helps too. You had mentioned before that you have, you know, different coping strategies now and different ways of handling mm-hmm. those. So I would imagine that helps too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that is awesome. Huge, you know, again, huge kudos to you for your 15 months. That is truly amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I know all too many people that are still struggling and haven't, I don't know if it, they haven't hit that rock bottom yet or haven't really decided that they
wanted help. Oh, and I want to say something quick.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's rock bottom is different. I just want people to know that. Like, I've never gone to jail for it. I've never picked up a charge. Everybody's rock bottom is different. For me, it was mainly my emotional rock bottom. You know, it was the emotional aspect was where I found recovery. You know, everybody's rock bottom looks different. Like, I've never overdosed, but there's people who have overdosed and then continue to get high the next day or an hour later, you know?
Right.
I guess
I've never been in that stage of, you know, but I have to, that kind of blows my mind. You know, you had mentioned somebody will OD and then they're back using the next day or an hour later or something, you know. And I've talked to people that, you know, they've had people use Narcan on them to bring them back, like a couple different doses of Narcan, and they were right back at it a few hours later. That's got to be a tough spot to be in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm just grateful that my rock bottom wasn't as deep as some, you know, like some people, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Not saying I'm any better or anything, but I'm just grateful that I was able to find recovery before I got to that deep, you know?
Right. Before you ended up in jail or worse.
Right. Or in prison or overdose, you know?
Right. Wow. Alrighty, well, if you didn't have anything else, I guess we can, you know, I can wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So, Jenna, thank you for sitting down with me and sharing your heart. Stories like you, like yours, remind us that the road may be long, but it's never too late for a change. And,
definitely.
And you had talked about rock bottom, but not enough about, you know, we in general, I guess, we talk about rock bottom. You know, everybody... You know, and you had mentioned everybody's rock bottom is different, but nobody talks enough about the courage it takes to rise from that. And you've shown that courage. And hopefully with this podcast, with people listening, maybe that'll give somebody the courage to try it too.
Right.
You know, and
that's what I hope for.
Right. And like you had said, even if it doesn't work now, try it again.
Oh, yeah. It took me about four to six times, depending which ones you count and not count.
Right.
Some of them are really short stints. But...
Right. Well, it's still an effort, you know, and it's hopefully that this may give somebody else some hope. All righty.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So you have yourself a wonderful day, and thank you again for sitting down and talking with me.
Of course.
And I will be in touch. This episode will be out a little bit later on today.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.
All right. That was Jenna on the phone. Second chances aren't always about wiping the slate clean. They're about holding space for growth, about choosing to believe in someone again, or for the first time. And when we offer that grace, we don't just help somebody rebuild their life. We help rebuild our community, too. This has been Sheboygan Stories Unhoused and Unheard. I'm Scott Labonte. If this story moved you, share it. Talk about it. You can find these podcasts on any major streaming platform, whichever one happens to be your favorite. Also on SheboyganAreaPayItForward.org. All right, everybody, have yourself a great day. Most of all, keep your heart open, and always, pay it forward.